Log Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Caitlin Patterson, Midwest Muscle, P2P, Real Talk in the house. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. Yeah, and the global. If you're a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, like what does? Nothing? Nothing? I'm making on it. Check us out at p4pmuscle.com, and now let's talk. Desiree, are you with me? That's different. Well, I thought I had her. I guess I'm going to look solo for a little bit. How sad, depressing, so hurtful. Well, anyway, everybody, how you doing? How is everyone? If anybody is familiar with the natural bodybuilding community, Midwest had a really, really big show over the weekend. Had all kinds of craziness, had all kinds of fun, all kinds of happy faces, and all kinds of people that really are looking at the drawing board on what they need to improve to start getting better for their next competition and next show. Baz, you with me?
I am. Finally here.
Hey, what's up?
I know. Miracles never cease.
Well, I was just filling everybody in with last weekend's show and how, you know, we were there and got a chance to see a lot. But I really don't know how. It's been a while since we've had so many classes that were basically filled to the brim with top names and top competition. And I don't even know where to start. So I guess we'll start with the ladies' classes first and then get into the guys' part of the competition, because there were just so many top-name competitors, even, you know, basically the ones that weren't competing, just in the audience. It was just, like, it's really nice to see. So that's, you know, the Kansas City, St. Louis area really brings out the hub of natural athletes, and it's a nice place where everybody seems to be able to get to and reach. So you have so many people in attendance as well as on stage. So that was it's nice and it's refreshing, and it's definitely welcome for all the natural athletes.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. So just a quick rundown. Pro women's physique, there were, I believe, 8 pros that graced that stage. We had Andrea Jordan, who was the winner of that category, and she's got several pro titles under her belt. In pro bikini, another stage of 8, and Misty Weatherford, she took first place honors in that category as well. And I have to say, so we recorded an interview with all of our pro winners, and we've got the majority of them posted, still have a couple left, and then a couple of side interviews that we did with folks in the audience, attending fans. And I had stated that Misty had won her third show in a row, her third pro show in a row this year, and I actually stand corrected. This was her 4th pro win so far in 2017, and the year's not even over yet. So, I mean, there is just not a stage that she's stepping on that she is not winning. I mean, right now, hands down, she's pretty much the measure that pro bikini women are being compared to. She's the standard because she keeps walking away with first place, regardless of the organization or where she's at. So definitely one to continue watching. And in fact, if you're interested in knowing more about her, you're going to want to stay tuned early October, that first week. She is going to be on this show. So we're going to be talking more about Misty and the ride that she's having this year. So I'm looking forward to that interview quite a bit. And pro male physique, I guess I'm kind of skipping around here. Let me get back to the ladies. In pro figure, we had that was quite a stacked stage there. I believe 13 competitors there, and we had Becca Levin, who was the winner of that category, and this is her second year in a row winning this. And that was kind of common. There were at least two or three of our pros that this is their second year of winning this show, and or it's their second win back-to-back, like in the last couple of months. So Misty was one of those. Becca, this is her second year of winning this. I even believe Andrea Jordan had won this pro stage before as well. So, you know, a lot of veterans returning. They really like the KC Classic stage. Jumping over to men, so pro male physique, we had a transplant. So Eric Murphy from Oklahoma took that category, and he also won best poser. And if you listen to the interview, what was surprising to me is that he had also won male physique at the Casey Classic. We're talking about the Casey Classic at the Windy City Natural in Chicago. Brian McCabe and Waishley McCabe show. So two pro wins there back to back, and he's just tearing up the Midwest. He's on the road to Worlds, and every step he takes is preparing him for that. And so that's what brought him to KC. He had heard that several of the judges that were going to be judging the KC Classic were also going to be judging at Worlds, and he wanted to get their feedback in advance to help him with his prep going forward. So I don't know. It sounds like a pretty smart strategy to me. And then for men's bodybuilding, we had Colby Calwhite. He won the lightweight class, and then our boy Sam, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago, Sam Okunola, he won the heavyweight class. So there's a quick rundown of all the pro winners from last weekend, and they all looked great. I mean, just so much competition there. And I know Kaylin, for sure, was really blown away by several of the names that were on the list, especially competing in men's bodybuilding.
Yes, I was, and you know, I'm going to do a shameless plug for Bizwest Buffalo, because, you know, we also had a great opportunity to talk with Keith Hunter, who is one of the judges, and we were getting some background insight from the judges' standpoint of how close the difference was in the scoring. You know, because a lot of people were trying to figure out, you know, why first was first, second, third. And I think in the lightweight class, he said the difference between all three was 1 point. And, I mean, you think about
top
that.
Yeah, three, yep.
Yes, and that's, you know, my goodness, do you realize how good the competition is when you have to get to that kind of state? I mean, like I said, it's a shameless plug because it was so much information come from just being open and honest about how hard it was for that show, and then to basically break it down when people are saying, you know, oh, I can't believe this person got this or this person got that. If it's that close, it really can go that between first and third and being that tight. So, you know, I was really happy and thankful that he would share that information before, you know, basically the show was even finished, and also to basically put out that kind of information where as a judge, where they're basically making sure people understand, don't give up, because it really is that close. I'll get into the bodybuilding, but I know Des has a point that she was, because I know when we were just hearing that, it was just so enlightening and also so uplifting, because, you know, when people get third place, you think, oh man, I'm two places from first. But when you're talking about 1 point, wow, I mean, that's serious. I mean, some people are destroyed for getting third place because they didn't win, but if it's 1 point difference, you're right there. And if you don't have that feedback, you don't know, you know, just how close you were to winning.
No, exactly. I mean, the only thing that I could even tag on to that is, you know, at this level, that's exactly how competition should be. I mean, everybody came to compete. You could see it. Their physiques were ready. And when you hit the pro stage, it should be that close, because that's the caliber of athletes that are striving to be there at that level. So You know, I was actually happy to hear that. I mean, as an athlete, that's kind of scary, that one point is all that separates you. But at the same time, that just lets you know, A game, and, you know, you're all worthy. They were all worthy to be up there against each other. And, you know, they're representing the best of the best right now. So, and I will have to say, I don't know, Kaylin's going to dive into some more, but men's bodybuilding. So I said Colby Cowhite had taken the men's lightweight bodybuilding class, and this was his first pro show. It was his first pro show. And in fact, he's been a pro less than a year, and he came in and swept it. But in looking at him for the lightweight class, he was the right choice. I mean, just everything about
him.
And he's and his goal is to get even better. He's going to take some time off and continue to grow and improve. His interview hasn't been made available yet, but it will be up by tomorrow at the latest. And you can definitely hear more and see more about him. And we did have some fun with he and Sam Okunola. They put together some of their best poses for the fans, so you'll be able to check that out on his interview as well.
Yeah, so I got to do another shameless plug on the Midwest Muscle, because he was so open about what was going on in his life and, you know, all the things that were going on. He and Sam had quite a conversation on the interview. So if you have the time, please take the time and listen, because this kid's size for being a lightweight, well, I don't even want to call it lightweight, for, you know, the other class, because we had this kid carries some serious muscle bellies for being 23 years old, and to to walk around with the calves he was carrying. This guy's putting some work in at the gym. That's not just genetics. I mean, he's got some freakishly large calves, but his body is just well built for bodybuilding. And believe me, he worked his tail off to get there, because he had some serious body work going on. So, you know, when you see somebody like that that's putting in that kind of work, and, you know, just have such an appreciation for the natural side of bodybuilding. He was just a gem to talk with. And, you know, the fact that he's looking to improve at his age is just really exciting for the future of natural bodybuilding. You know, we had our buddy, Liam McCann, for P4P, and he was in the East.
Yeah.
I think this was the last show for him for this year, and he was one of the top three. So, you know, you can see, with, you know, you have the shredder being like he was, and have this kid come in and you know, basically win it. And like Dad said, as much as we were rooting for Liam, you can't go off of who you want to win. You go off who's supposed to win. And this kid definitely earned that title at the KC Classic. He was phenomenal. I mean, it's the best way to say it. He looked honestly amazing. Like, as good as he looked on the videos you'll see on Midwest Muscle, he looked even better in person, because he could really do some muscle manipulation with his bone body to basically bring out the peak of a bicep and really spike that calf to where you have true appreciation, especially if you're a competitor and practice a lot of posing. You can really come to appreciate the fact that he could basically get his muscles to move in that way at that young age. It's really something to think about. So, you know, get a chance. Like that said, we basically got him a chance to get in some poses, and they were nice enough to do it because they were super busy, you know, people wanting to celebrate with them. But they still took that kind of time to give back to the fans. Also, before I forget, I have to bring out the fact that they did take time with the fans. They were taking pictures with them. They were basically, you know, answering questions, and I know the family and friends were, you know, a little bit frustrated because they know the suffering they've been through, and they wanted to get them to some food. So it was really nice to see that, you know, it wasn't about, you know, getting to those big post-show pictures for food that they haven't been having. What they were concerned more about was interacting with the audience, the fans, and basically the other competitors to see what they did to reach the level they were. So it's really, I mean, live events are something special, but when you get to see something like that, it really pulls you even more to to want to do more for natural bodybuilding because it's an option people can live with. And I say that with a double meaning, meaning one, you know, you don't have to take drugs that are killing you to have an aesthetic look of health and fitness. You actually are healthy and fit, and you're also engaging with the people because you have nothing to hide. So basically your life is what you're sharing. You're not sharing, you know, some doctor's prescription. You're not sharing the best drug dealer. You're basically sharing a way to stay healthy and fit. And I mean, that's what basically has me so passionate for natural bodybuilding. But it also has me understanding that everyone that's really successful in this sport is of that same mindset of giving, sharing, and having a true passion for being healthy and fit. I probably went a little bit further, but we're going to get back to the natural bodybuilding tall class, but I'm going to let Dez throw her points in there, and then we'll jump over.
Nope, I just would add that they were all of these athletes were very, just very well-grounded, a lot of them with several years of success under their belt and still very humble. So always, always refreshing to see that.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And now we got to get to I just had his name, and it just popped out of my head, and he was on our show. This was his first show, 3D, and I can't get his name. It just slips me. Help me out, Dez. He was in the lightweight class. Alberto Nunez. Yes, Berto. His first show, and people, you know, he's got a great following. He's very giving. He's very loving. He's very passionate, and he just does everything and anything to make sure that he's, just ready for a stage. And the fact that he didn't crack the top five just shows you how tough that class was because he looked great.
Without a doubt, he sure did. And, you know, he has, as Kevin was saying, such a large following, such a plethora of information, knowledge. You know, he is a walking science book. So, you know, he knows what he's talking about and how to prep for a show. So the competition was just stiff, just really, really stiff.
Yes, it was. And now we can get on to the tall class. And, you know, it was basically a who's who. And, my goodness, you're talking Benny Mobley, a veteran of bodybuilding pros, Chris Tall, Sam, of course, Terry Starks, and Joe Pearson. It's just so many names that were on stage, and this is the thing that excites me, and I know it excites Dez as well, is that they picked this show simply because of the names that were going to be there. They were coming to compete, and they wanted to see, all right, if this guy is the best, if this guy has been winning, then I want to step on stage against that. And I think we had a chance to speak with Robert Johnson, the DFAC world champ from a couple of years back, and it's basically his backyard, and he was feeling so bad after he realized the names that were going to be gracing the stage, that he was not going to be amongst them. You, that kind of atmosphere is not fake. It's not created. It's basically established in the people already. And when they get there, it becomes electric because they're so happy and so eager to be on stage to really go against the best of the best. And I'm telling you, these guys really brought some great physiques. They brought great mindsets. And they brought some great attitudes to the stage, and they definitely shared everything with the audiences, and they got their money's worth. But they were out there both classes were out on stage for quite a length of time. And when you see the level of competition, you can see why, because the judges had such a tough time basically, and like John Arnold had mentioned to us, but Keith had also shared on Midwest Muscle videos just how hard it is when the competition is that tough. He said because then you start, once you go through all the checks and balances, and they're still perfect, that's when you basically start getting hypercritical, and basically finding the smallest flaw, and that's what makes the difference in the competition. And that's, like Dad said, that's when you really get excited, because they have to keep doing those quarter turns. It can't be a set time on judging. And I don't understand why people feel a need to rush through that if you're trying to do it correctly. It does take time, and it's supposed to take time, because you want them to get it right. And if it takes, as long as it has to take for the call to be right, I'm happy with that. Dez, have you got any comment on that one?
No, I think you covered it.
So when we're talking about classes being tough, you want to pick a show like that. I mean, like, the last time I saw that level of competition was actually at the Mayhem, and it was basically the same kind of mindset of people saying, I'm going there because I know the best are going too. And you can't help but have a good show when you have that level of competition. And the physiques, I'm telling you, we as Midwest Muscle videographers, we do our best to show you what the competitors look like right when they're coming off stage and right when they're at their best. But at the live venues, it's really something, because I don't know how we could translate it to where you could feel the electricity that we get to share when we're at these shows. So if you have a chance to get to a live event, please make every effort to do so, because, you get to see the real people, and you get to see the people who are basically social media athletes. Because there's people that want to compete, and there's people that basically want to be seen. And the true competitor shows up at the shows, and you'll see it during a win or a loss. These people are happy to be there. They're happy to engage in everything because they're bringing their best, and they know they brought their best, and they just didn't win. Or they did win. Like, as good as Sam has been doing all year, he wasn't sure how he would do when he got there, simply because of the names that were on the moniker. So it's really impressive where somebody's willing to go across the country to compete against the best. And, this is his year, and he's definitely been doing some repeating. And I'll let Dez fill you in on the shows that he's been winning this year.
Well, it would be great if I could recall all the shows that he's been winning this year, Kalen, but unfortunately,
okay, I'll help you out.
They're not on the top of my head. But do help
I'll
me
help
out.
You out. He went out to California and won their Muscle Mayhem, and he won that show, and he beat out Prince Bada Lekin, and he's basically one of the West Coast standouts. And he's got some legs that just defy reason. And he beat him. Then he went up to, the Minnesota show. And he's got he won that show as well. And then he came down to Brian McCabe's show, the Windy City, and he won that one. And now he's got the KC Classic under his belt. And he still got other shows that he's still looking at, simply because he knows that there's still good competitors out there that he hadn't stepped on stage with this year. Because this is a banner year for Sam, and he's got a great physique, and you can vouch for it because you stood right next to him. He's not playing around, and he's got good support. He's got some great backing and what he's doing, and you can listen to the podcast and learn more about his background, or you can listen to the interview and see where his mindset is now, because he's sharing everything he's doing, and the stuff he gave to his counterpart that basically he went up against in the overall, was really good to see, because he was like, you know, sooner or later he's going to be beating me. And he, I mean, he didn't have no problem saying that, because he realized the potential in this guy's physique. So we're constantly seeing great things, but it's the giving that makes it even more special, because nobody's trying to keep anything top secret, confidential. I can't let you know what I'm doing. In order for me to improve, I need you to improve, so I can improve off of having that spur in my butt to do better. And that's just great to see, and it's great to, you know, be a part of. And like I said, even when the cameras aren't rolling, this is what they were doing. It's almost like what did they talk about, the bromance? And I think I had spoken on that, but we were talking so many times at that venue that I don't know what was on camera and what wasn't, because it was just that kind of atmosphere. So, you know, if you do get a chance, please watch the Midwest Muscle videos. There's a lot of information in them. We give the athletes as much time as possible to speak their mind and share what they're feeling, loving, and who supported them. So, you know, you do get all of that, and it's real. It's not scripted. I can guarantee you right now, Des and I don't run up to them with, you know, paperwork that we hand them, and then they have to speak on what this, that, whatever. They speak their mind and what they're feeling right at that moment, and you get to see it right when they're coming off stage. So, you know, do take part in that. Learn more about what it takes to be a natural athlete, and learn what it means to actually have true passion, because the motivation is something that can ebb and flow, but a passion is something that sticks with you and you can do day in and day out. Not always successfully to your best, but definitely not, you're not successful in failing to do your worst. So keep that in mind. Go for what you know. Push yourself hard and just don't give up, because these guys have been through the ringer. And you know, like, you have one person that's basically a year in and doing well, and then you have a person that had basically been competing, you know, fine. I mean, I think Sam shared with us that, you know, he'd gotten on stage and he'd gotten his butt kicked, and he's like, well, yeah, I got that out of the way. Now I can start getting better. So, you know, it's the mindset is the same. They never give up, and they just want to keep doing better. So we have to learn to embrace challenges. None of them the same. I mean, you watch the interviews, the Midwest Muscle interviews. Nobody's life story is identical, but they do share a same ending result, and that's with the win, because we get to see so many personalities, so many backgrounds, and so many starting points. And I get so excited just hearing that, because I know we're sharing that with people that are struggling with where they are right now, you included. So, oh my goodness. Okay, okay, Des, I'm going to just throw you some questions. Desiree, okay, here we go. Here we go. This was from Shannon. And she wants to know, standing next to all those male physiques, you know, does that, you know, really make you think about the calendar that could be, meaning the calendars that we've been sharing, you know, the NGA calendar, or did you have ideas of your own?
Woo, isn't that a little potentially steamy question there? You know, all physiques are typically phenomenal. You can't go to a show and not just see beautiful bodies, male and female, regardless. And I have to say, I do have an appreciation for the human body. It's one of the things that I love about natural bodybuilding. But I also say that it's one of the things that I appreciate is that you're able to go to competitions and know for the most part that when someone is looking at your physique or you're examining someone else's physique, it's all about the physique, how they're going to score. Are they lean enough? Are their muscles full enough? You know, is there symmetry on? And I think that's the majority of thoughts that flow through people's heads, or at least when I'm looking at somebody, that's what's going through my mind. So, yeah, I could definitely be on the same train of thought of, yeah, these bodies would make a great calendar. But as far as, you know, anything else on my mind, it doesn't go that deep. And if it did, I don't know that I would admit it on the air anyway. But I will say phenomenal bodies. I do appreciate them for what they are. So, you know, great question. Great question.
Okay, here's another one. This one's from Deborah, and she wants to know, with Misty's physique, how does a girl maintain that year-round? I mean, basically, the time that she's been doing it, still, you know, keep that kind of size and definition?
You know, I can't speak for her training regimen per se, but I would have to say that she has fully mastered the timing between competitions and how to structure her nutrition so that she's able to, you know, maintain good energy, not lose a lot of muscle, but yet still come in looking lean and extremely full. And that also just goes to show that she has a good amount of muscle development in there. So as she leans down, she's still able to hold on and maintain quite a bit of it. And it just takes a tremendous amount of discipline. So hats off to her to be able to maintain the look she's had for pretty much most of this year, because she's been competing solid for the past at least, I would say, 5 months at least. So, you know, whatever her program is, she's got it down pat. But I would really have to say that it's a mastery of her nutrition along with her mature muscle development that she has. So, you know, definitely in awe of the physique that she has. I don't know, Kaylin, what other thoughts do you have to add to that?
No, I'm this is something that, you know, we talked about. Because, you know, like, thankfully we have our own coach's corner, which is Chad, and he was talking about the success of competing throughout the year instead of basically being one and done or one and two because people are struggling so hard with their diets. These people, you know, Marsha Johnson would be another person that I would include in that, that can go 6-7 shows. Ed Castillo once did 14 shows in a year. So, you know, you're talking about people that have basically found that happy place in their diet where they're not straying too far away and they're not having these cheat meals from hell to where they're basically destroying everything they've created. So, you know, there's a myth and there was a bro science to the understanding that you could not maintain this being at a certain body percentage. But the whole thing is not being concerned about the body percentage, it's more being more concerned about your metabolism and how to basically get it to work in your behalf and not out of your behalf, because I think that's what the big issue becomes. You know, how do you maintain your mentality and your sanity and still deal with other people? Because, you know, Marsha Johnson's a happily married man, and Castillo is a happily married man. So, you know, these guys have not suffered off the stage, in a prep, in a diet, or in any other realm. They basically found that balance that can sustain, and if you look, it does it in their head and their heart and also in their bodies, because they're keeping that balance sane. It can be destructive, and I've seen it where you can destroy relationships, focus solely on competing, or you can basically include everybody in what you're doing, have no shame in it, and understand that this is a joint venture and you can go about it successfully. And I think Misty has found that. She has Dave in her life, Dave Dreamer, and he has basically been a competitor at the top echelon. He's won his time in men's physique, and he's done quite well in that, and he basically, you know, was able to maintain his daughters and everything else. So you're talking about people that have a background in this. They're not unfamiliar with it. So do get around people that want to share in your adventure and share in your life and basically be a part of what you're doing instead of speaking against it and trying to find fault in what you're doing, because it is not a war, it's not a battle, and it's not anything negative. You're talking about basically improving your body, improving your mindset, and improving your health. And these things are not bad things. I know there's plenty of great people of Christ that, you know, find that way to, you know, increase their time with God. I mean, there's plenty of things that can happen that are so fulfilling that it's a win-win if you let it be that way. If you're surrounded with people that are negative, they will take away from your life. So, you know, you don't want that, and you don't want to basically have the issue of struggle and strain. And I'll pass it to you, Deb.
Where are we going with this?
Yeah.
I think I said my
I got another question, but I think Kaylin has... Hold on. Let me get the other question for you. Then we'll go.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you see the men's physique guy looking like men's physique and the bodybuilders looking like bodybuilders, does that help with the understanding of criteria for the fans as well as the judges?
Most definitely. I think when you can look at the two different types of physiques and you can see the definite differences in what's expected of the two categories, it helps to give you that visual in your mind. Okay, this is a physique body. This is a bodybuilding body without that crossover confusion. And, you know, we've had these discussions, you know, where is bodybuilding headed? Is there a trend that we're leaning more towards the more conditioned body versus the bigger muscles for bodybuilding? You know, is that historically a physique body or is that the new bodybuilding body? So, you know, when you have winners that look almost identical, it does create a lot of confusion to the fans. So I do enjoy seeing physique winners that look like physique, still very full, a lot of great conditioning, a lot of muscle definition, but yet with the bodybuilders coming in even bigger, you know, that fit the profile of what historically a bodybuilder has always looked like, even on the national scene, even on the natural side of it. So yes. Yes to all of the above. Yes, I enjoy seeing that. Yes, I think it makes it easier for the fans to differentiate between the classes. And I think you saw a very clear definition also between women's physique, bikini, and figure as well. And again, this is at the pro level. So we didn't get to spend a lot of time with the amateurs at this particular show. Most of our focus was on the pros. But you're definitely seeing, and I think, a more distinct difference between the body types once you hit that pro level versus what you might see on the amateur end of things.
Okay, now we have a guest for tonight, and I know I know we've been excited to hear from him. He's also a pro, and he can tell you about what it's like to step on stage against the best. But first, we'll let him introduce himself and give us a little bit of his backstory, and then we'll get his part of the show going. So, Justin, you there?
I am. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Great. I'll try to speak really slowly so all you American listeners can understand my Aussie
accent.
Hell,
we love it.
I know whenever I visit the U.S., sometimes I get some weird looks and blank stares and people just nod and agree.
What's been happening? I want you to give your background and what you are in natural bodybuilding and just introduce yourself to our listeners.
Yeah, great. Okay, my name's Justin Figueroa. I'm a PNBA, so professional natural bodybuilding pro over here in Australia. I live down south in Melbourne, so it's our winter at the moment. It's cold. Everyone thinks Australia is, you know, warm and fuzzy and beaches, but I got it cold at the moment. Basically, I've been training since I was a teenager. I'm 36 now, so heaps of years under my belt. Always competed with the IMBA, PMBA, started as a junior. So my first show, I was 21. And then just worked my way up the ranks as you go through the competitions from a junior to like an intermediate novice competitor into open lineups. competed in the open lineups for about 4 or 5 years, and then eventually got my pro card and started traveling over to the US to compete against the best of the best, so Kyoshi, Rico, Martin Daniels, those sorts of competitors, which is what I like. I like that challenge.
Awesome. Awesome. So for our folks listening, a couple of shows back, we had mentioned that Kaylin and I wanted to start a tour across the world, or around the world, I should say, and just speaking to various bodybuilders in different countries, because we do have an international leadership listenership. So we asked, you know, if you have someone that you think would be great for our show that you want to hear more about and that can speak English, let us know, and we will definitely work to get them on the show. And hands down, as soon as we put that request out there, so many people came back in. It's Justin. And we're like, all right, well, we've got to get this Justin Figueroa guy on the show. And just so happens he's from Australia, which we love. And I was a little bit of trouble for a while back because I didn't understand how many listeners we have in Australia. But I understand now, and I love it. Love it. And so you guys asked for it. Kaylin got in contact with Justin, and Justin was gracious enough to join us tonight. So, Justin, I just want you to know you were in high demand. Like, we got so many listeners responding to us that kept sending us your name. So I'm like, well, there must be something pretty amazing about this guy, or you have one heck of a following that at least listened to our show. So thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome. I'm very humbled. That's all a shock to me.
So I guess my first question is to kind of kick off, like, our tour around the world. What are the differences you see in natural bodybuilding in Australia as compared to when you come to the United States and compete?
Australian natural bodybuilding is very big. There's a huge competitor show outs for most of the shows. I think it's similar to the US in that it is still going down the sort of classic physique board short line, purely because of the whole social media, and it's probably more attainable, even though natural bodybuilding is attainable by most people, you know, being the natural style. I still think that whole physique classic and board short divisions are the ones that are growing, which is still good to see, because I like to see them as stepping stones, I suppose, for people to graduate and move up into the bodybuilding field as they feel comfortable. But other than that, pretty much the same. I know our amateur ranks, our top amateurs are really, really good. And I'd put our top amateurs up against some of the, like, the pros in the US. But then when you go to the pro level natural bodybuilders in the US, they are very, very good, like the top of the top. So I think that's the difference, if that makes sense. I think our amateurs can step up as pros, and our amateurs, there's a lot of them, and they're very competitive. Like, whenever we head over to do the Natural Olympia, it's just always an overall Australian competitor that wins and gets their pro card there. But, yeah, the pro level, the USA guys tend to be trumping us sometimes.
Gotcha. So, I mean, I think you kind of answered the next question that our listeners have, but I'll go ahead and ask it and have you weigh in again. But both Dale and Lisa wanted to know if it is harder competing in Australia than it is in the United States, if the competition is tougher.
I think the competition is tougher in the amateur ranks as an amateur, yeah. From what I've seen, I haven't seen every single amateur show in the US and all the different, you know, natural federations over there. But going through the amateur ranks in the IMBA over here, yeah, the caliber's crazy. They're very, very good guys and girls.
Gotcha. Well, now I'm excited. I've always wanted to visit Australia. It's on my bucket list. One of the few traveling adventures on my bucket list, but now I really need to get over there. I know, and I have to come to Melbourne now, because that's where you are, and I can say I know you. Well, kind of know you. I talked to him on a podcast once, that one time,
that's
but
it.
Anyway, I digress. Jimmy wants to know, how well are Ryan and Lane Norton received in Australia when they come to visit?
Yeah, they're well received. They come over frequently to do seminars or coming over to our Arnold Classic sort of competition, which is in March, and Lane will be over here doing a seminar or touching base with the fans. They're all well received, definitely.
Yeah, and I have to say that, you know, I've had a chance to speak with Lane, especially at the bigger events or where he happens to be guest posing or something like that. But I'm telling you, Ryan has to be one of the most cerebral individuals I've ever had the chance to sit down and just converse with. How engaging is he when he's doing a seminar? Because I have yet to be at one of those when he's there or in the venue, and I know he really looks up to Lane. So how does that conversation go back and forth? And do they just basically have everybody standing on their toes waiting for the next bit of information?
Pretty much over here in Australia, that's what I thought. They've got a lot of following, so they've got a lot of fanboys, fangirls that, you know, keep in contact and obviously touching base with those guys. So it's just a good old meet and greet for Lane and Ryan. And again, both very knowledgeable people and huge following. So it just depends how many or if they even cap their audience participation for like their seminars. I'm not sure, but I know they get full houses every time, and then they'll run their training camps and always a sellout. They're always full.
Yep, as they are here in the States as well. So huge following. Linda,
the other
wants of, to know.
Yeah, Lane and Ryan and the 3DMJ crew as well. They've got lots of following over here in the US. They're very popular
mm-hmm.
guys.
Yep. I mean, just along their nutrition track, I mean, they tend to kind of, you know, break the mold in that area, in a lot of areas, but really along nutrition. And even some of their latest programs and their coaching models have been, I think, some of the more innovative that I've seen in a while. So they always seem to be cutting edge, if not controversial sometimes, but, you know, that's part of it, that's part of what goes along with being in that line of work. So the question I was getting around to is, and it's a little bit different than Lane Norton, this one's directed back at you, but Linda wants to know if you are a model.
A model? No, I'm not a model. The only time I model is when I'm on stage in a fake tan.
Well, it seems that maybe you should be. You might want to look into that. Oh, shoot. Okay. Our next question is, how shocked are people to learn that natural athletes look as good as they do on Australia, or is it more commonly known in your area?
Yeah, people still get shocked, and you always get people in the gym that have only been training for 6 months and not achieving their goals and then pointing a finger, well, you know, they must be using performance enhancing drugs and all that sort of thing. So for the lay person, I suppose, yeah, it's a shock factor. But for people that have been around the industry for a while or are competitors in natural bodybuilding, then there's a lot of some good guys in the gym and girls. So not so shocked, I suppose. People that know how to put the hard work in and how long you've been training and know the history kind of expect to have that sort of result, I suppose.
Yeah, I can see that. And there's a lot of things that I've learned over the years in being around natural bodybuilding, and that's the spreading of misinformation, basically, for people that want to sell the enhanced drugs and the things that can help. Well, they're basically saying, well, so-and-so is on it, even though they're not, you know, basically just to kind of open the door for communication. So, you know, there's a lot of people that will misuse natural bodybuilding and the natural bodybuilding landscape basically to get their, you know, claws into somebody or get their hooks into somebody, to basically get them started on a path that they really weren't interested in or really choosing until they see physiques like yours, and then they start, you know, basically putting that information out, and a lot of it's misinformation. So there's people that, you know, have the best interest for natural bodybuilders, and then there's people that have the best interest for themselves, and you know, they do exist in the same atmosphere, although not necessarily the same mindset. But we're going to get on something different, because Justin, I've seen you, we go back some years, and I got a chance to see you in Chicago a couple of times, but the first time I was just impressed with your legs, and it seems like you've just constantly improved on them to where they're just massive. And I mean, you can't help but see them when you get on stage, and especially when you were standing next to Rico, and he's got some of the best legs in the business, you were able to hold your own with that. So, you know, what have you been doing to change your regimen, and how have you been pushing yourself to, you know, step on stage with these guys and constantly come with a better physique each time?
Yeah, I think genetically blessed in the leg department. So not having to change a whole lot, and if anything, with the legs, to make them look better for myself, it's just improving condition even more. So like anything, it's an illusion. The leaner you are on stage, the bigger those muscles look with all the separation and striation. So for that kind of thing, that's how I'm aiming to get better. It's just conditioning. I'm always hitting the stage around the same weight. I think I've pretty much hit my limit, very close to limit on how much size I've got on my frame. So now it's just a matter of molding that sort of frame and conditioning it even more so to get on stage. So again, it's just bodybuilding, body sculpting, trying to work on the symmetry. I know the legs have always been a dominant part, so I've kind of backed off the legs a little bit. I think last year maybe my legs look a little bit slighter compared to maybe the upper body to previous years. And that mm-hmm. may have improved my symmetry. But then you've got the lines of thinking, well, if you've got a good body part, why don't you just make them a freaky body part and wow the crowd? It's apples and oranges for judges, and very subjective. I enjoy training legs, so they're always going to be in there.
Obviously.
It just depends on the intensity and the volume load and how I think they're shaping up compared to the rest of the body, like everything, I suppose.
Now, Justin, I want to take a step back to a comment that you just made, that you think you've probably maxed out on the amount of size that you can put on your frame. Can you just elaborate on why it is you feel you're kind of reaching your maximum potential?
I think I've reached my maximum potential on how much I can keep on my frame. So, you know, a really heavy, strong off-season, putting calories in, I'll put the weight on, and then I'll diet down for a show, and I'll always come down to a very close 87 kilograms. I'm not sure what that is in pounds for you guys. And every year I'm very close to that, but year on year I might get a little bit leaner or a little bit tighter. So I suppose there is a little bit more muscle on there, less body fat, weight stays the same. But what I have been able to find is, even though I'm coming on stage at a similar weight, I can kind of shift muscle from area to area. So one year I might, you know, have a kilo extra of muscle on the legs, but then the following year if I'm working more of the upper body, that kilo might come off the legs and go into the upper body, and it's kind of still, the overall weight's the same, but the distribution of that weight is moved on the body. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I found it's slowly happening over year to year. So actually being at this size, that's where I'm at, is just now trying to make that size look as pleasing as possible, or get to that image I want in my head of how I want my physique to look.
Gotcha, gotcha. And I think you said 87 kilograms?
Correct.
So I think if I've got the math right, and don't quote me because I'm in public relations, folks, there's a reason why I do communications for a living and not something that crunches numbers. But I think that would put you around about 190 pounds, 191 pounds, 92 pounds, somewhere in there. I think closer to 192 maybe, if that sounds...
Times 2.2.
If that sounds about right.
Like
so
that.
I'll let somebody else do the math out there. You can fact check whether or not we're in the ballpark, or if he's coming in at a different weight. But no, that totally makes sense. And I know a lot of our listeners, as soon as you said that, they perked up, they were writing in, they wanted to know more about, you know, why it is you felt that. And, you know, and so I guess my follow-up, the natural follow-up question for me is, if you feel that you are reaching your maximum potential, I mean, other than, you know, you have some distribution of your way your muscle presents itself here and there, reproportions itself from show to show, do you feel like, I mean, do you still have a stronger drive to compete? Because a lot of times you always hear we as athletes say, well, you know, it's me against me, and I'm always striving to bring a better package than I did the last show. But if you're nearing the point where you don't feel like you can really put any more muscle on your frame, what still continues to drive you to be a natural competitor?
Yeah, I still enjoy competing to compete, and I don't think my size is the reason why I wouldn't be winning. Yeah, there's no reason why I shouldn't keep going. I think if I put on extra muscle, yeah, and extra weight came in heavier, that would help. But it's not the reason why. If I just become in more conditioned, or if I come in more symmetrical, that's going to help me win. And I can still do that. I know I can still make improvements on my condition, so I will be a better package next year. I know I can still work on symmetry, so I will bring a better package. It just means I won't bring a bigger package, but I can still bring a better package.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for elaborating on that one. Casey wants to know, when is your next trip to the U.S.?
Heading over October 31st. Tickets are booked. Doing the PNBA World Cup in California. And then heading over to the PNBA Olympia in Las Vegas. That's November 12th, I think.
All right, so you'll be in the States then for, you know, multiple weeks back-to-back to hit both of those shows.
Correct. I've got a back-to-back. So I think it's November 4 and then a week later. And then I'm heading over to New York to just do some sightseeing and eat some food and relax for a bit. Then coming home and back to business again.
Hey, there you go. So which cities do you like to visit the most when you're in the U.S.?
I do like LA and doing the whole bodybuilding mecca of Golds and Venice. I do enjoy Vegas just because I've got fond memories of competing, and it's just a crazy town. When I came to Chicago, I think Chicago is like the nicest of the cities I've been to, but being it's a little bit further east, it's even further to travel for us, so it's hard to get over there. I haven't been to New York yet, so I'll call back in 3 months' time and let you know.
Yeah, I do.
There you go.
You know, Manhattan is definitely something you have to see. I mean, I encourage anyone, if you've never been, I definitely would not want to live in New York, but I do love to visit Manhattan and all the lights and everything
Manhattan.
That goes along with it. Manhattan. So I think
there
you'll enjoy
it.
There
you go. You can't say Manhattan.
You can find a New York slice on every corner. The food will be great, so you'll be good.
I'm looking forward to those big Reuben sandwiches with 3 kilos of meat.
A mountain of meat, said like a true bodybuilder. All right. Okay. Getting back to our listeners here. Okay. Hold on, Kaylin. Let me get this one in, and then I'll have you dive in. Sam wants to know, what classes and categories do the natural athletes in Australia or what classes and categories are offered for natural athletes in Australia?
Very similar to the US. So you've got your open bodybuilding, which will either go, depending on federation, in different classes of weight or height. Then you've got your board short physique men. A few of the federations are bringing in the classic physique, similar to how the IFBB have done that. And then you've got your ranks going up into it. So your first-time competitor, then you've got novice competitors, and then they'll go into the open class, depending on which class they actually go into. So bodybuilding physique, classic physique. That's the basics. And then there are a few other kind of wing-off classes, which I'm not too familiar with, though.
Yeah, and you know, there's I hope there's no confusion. You know, there's a lot of things growing in natural bodybuilding simply because I think a lot of promoters, organization leaders, and everyone else realize that people in the natural industry are very unique, and certain body frames and body types just fit that person better than an overall look of what is expected when you think of bodybuilders. There's people that are just naturally, you know, lean, but they can still come with a nice physique. And then there's people that are just massive, and they just have to deal better with their diet to bring that frame that basically is a good match for the category they're in. Justin, you know, where did you start as far as, I mean, basically what kicked your butt into wanting to be a bodybuilder, especially bringing the packages you bring to stage? Because that's not an easy feat. It's something that takes time. And I think a lot of people need to learn better about muscle maturity and basically muscle memory, because they are a blessing if you work them correctly. And that's the one thing the enhanced realm really struggles with, because without the drug, they don't have that going for them. So when you're explaining to somebody where you came from, how to get where you are, and how to maintain it, how do you go about explaining that in a way that they can be successful in their life dream?
Time and consistency, and you have to be patient. So I started training when I was a teenager in high school, and the reason why I started going to the gym is because I was a surfer, into surfing and getting ready for some big wave surfing. So just wanted to improve my back strength, core stability for surfing. And then going to the gym, you notice your muscles start to grow. You start feeling more confident. You start looking better. You start getting some looks from the ladies, and it's all positive reinforcement. And then, you know, a couple of guys at the gym said, "Hey, why don't you step on stage?" I'm like, "What do you mean? Wearing those little undies? No chance." But you kind of get over that, and I went into my first teenage or junior show and did well in the state show and was selected to represent our state to go over to nationals. And did, I think I placed second at nationals. And again, positive reinforcement, you know, I've done well in those competitions. So my first year of actual bodybuilding was still after about 3 years in the gym. So starting training, you know, when I was 15, 16 as the teenager, and then stepping on stage at 21. And then from there, I was hooked, you know, positive outcomes, start training, enjoy the lifestyle, work your way up the ranks. And yeah, I was patient with it. So it's just, that's all it is. If you expect to step on stage tomorrow and win every show under the sun, especially as a natural bodybuilder, unless you're genetically freakily gifted, and don't get me wrong, there are a few guys out there, it just takes time and you need to enjoy the process. If you don't enjoy the process, find something else. And same thing, you have to be semi sort of realistic and not be delusional. Bodybuilding isn't for everyone. Being a bodybuilder isn't for everyone. I could want to be the fastest man in the world, but I'm never going to beat Usain Bolt, no matter how fast I sprint, train, you know, how hard I go. Same thing, I'm definitely not going to be a basketballer. I'm too short. same thing for other, you know, other people. They just will never become a bodybuilder. Doesn't mean they can't improve their physique, though. And that's where these other classes, like you're saying, that the board short classes and the classic physique can work better for different body types. So it's a matter of finding what you fit into and just making sure you love and enjoy the process. If you can't visualize yourself doing this for the rest of your life or for at least the next 15 years, then, yeah, maybe start thinking of doing something else.
And there you go. Great perspective. Definitely something for our listeners to think about. And I do appreciate the point you said where even if you don't ever have an aspiration to be a bodybuilder, it doesn't mean that you can't improve your physique. It doesn't mean you can't work towards better health. So, you know, for everyone out there who might be listening and, you know, they love a bodybuilder, they like to watch bodybuilding, but they sit back and say, well, that could never be me. Well, it doesn't have to be you. But you can always be a better version of you if you choose to. And 100%. And that goes for anything. It can go for your health. It can go for, you know, expanding your vocabulary, learning new words, reading books, trying something new, picking up a different skill. I mean, there's all sorts of ways to improve or expand your horizons from where you are today. So, you know, just definitely something to think about and take into consideration. Let's see, another listener question. Sean wants to know, how do you maintain your diet on such long flights to the States when you're headed here to compete?
I pack all my food, so I will prepare my food. I will freeze 6 meals, so they're already frozen, and put them in an esky or an ice bag. I'll have 3 fresh meals, and I'll be able to just pull them out on the plane and eat as I go. And then when I get through my 3rd meal, those frozen meals are starting to defrost, and I can ask the flight attendants to nicely heat them up in the microwave for me if I need be. I'll also overpack food just to make sure when I do land in the US, I'm not in a rush to get to a supermarket and start preparing food. The big thing for us is just to declare with your customs, just to say, hey, I do have some pre-cooked, prepared meals. I've brought chicken, vegetables, blah, blah, blah. And then customs over there with you guys are really nice about that. They'll check the food and go, oh, no problems. Are you going to eat that soon? Yep, I'm going to eat that, and I'm set. So it's just being prepared. Some of the air flights or the like Qantas who I fly with will also give the option of meal selections. So I'll usually just select like a diabetic meal plan, because usually it'll be a lower carbohydrate, especially sugars, a lower fat meal, and they can prepare that and have that ready for me. And I'll have a look at the meal, and if I think, yeah, that will fit in my plan for competing, then I'll go ahead and eat that meal. But that's just a backup. I'll always bring my prepared meals myself as well.
Well, that works. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. And
that's and,
just... go ahead, Justin.
And that's just for competing. I mean, if I'm coming over to the US for a holiday, I'm not preparing anything. I'll eat anything and everything on the plane. It's only a, you know, 16-hour flight. That's not going to do too much. And then you're over in the States. So, again, that's just competing. When I'm competing, obviously I'm counting everything. I'm looking at what I'm eating. It has to be on point. Any other time of the year, yeah, I'm a little bit more relaxed, and I'll make it fit around my lifestyle and what I'm doing.
And that makes great sense, and it also works because, you know, like you're preparing, and the one thing a lot of people, like, and I love how you said this bodybuilding isn't for everybody, and it's truly not, and I don't know any sport that ever is for everyone, and we just need to understand and accept that, because like Des and I have spoken many times on the show where there are people that are just happy to be fans. They just love the sport of bodybuilding, and they follow it religiously. I mean, and I love the Midwest, not simply because I live here, but because there's so many people that are involved in the understanding of the sport, and they back it so well. So they're really knowledgeable about it. You know, we get a lot of listeners, and thank you guys so much for chiming in today. I was really impressed that you would, you know, basically pick Justin and have so much information on him. But also the fact that you're so concerned about, you know, natural bodybuilding. And one of the things that Paula is asking is that did the categories come, and I can answer this, but I'll let you answer it first, Justin. But she's saying did the categories come from basically giving people options not to go on to drugs, or basically just to find a niche for the person that wasn't quite a bodybuilder or wasn't quite a figure? So, you know, I'll let you answer that first, Justin, and then I'll give the knowledge that I have.
Well, I think for the natural bodybuilding, the categories came exactly for that, just to fit a niche of a body type that people wanted to feel or represented or could achieve themselves. I think in the non-tested federations, say like the IFBB, how they brought in the classic and the men's physique, again, those guys can use whatever they want, but again, I think they could be natural or can be naturally achieved. I mean, a lot of the natural bodybuilders are heading over and starting to do classic physique. They've actually, I think Martin Daniels, one is IFBB classic physique pro card. as a natural bodybuilder. So those classes have been put there in the non-tested federations for the more attainable look. Whereas in the natural bodybuilding, those classes are being brought out for people that want to look that way or can achieve that way. Again, it's bodybuilding isn't for everyone. Even naturally, you can't look like a natural bodybuilder to some people, so they can achieve the natural physique look. That's the way I think it's gone anyway.
Yes.
All right,
very
good.
I would second that because, you know, the whole thing about natural bodybuilding is basically giving you an avenue and a doorway so you wouldn't have to go on drugs to find that appealing physique for yourself. Or, you know, like Justin had said, you know, how we picture ourselves in our minds and what we can actually bring to reality. That's a constant work in progress. And it's like it's constantly wanting to improve without the need for drugs. Because some people are driven to be the biggest, most massive, most freakish person in life, and then there's people that want to be the best them or best you. So if this is what it needs to basically give that category so a person doesn't have to go to drugs to basically compete in bodybuilding, then that's a nice avenue to have. And I'm thankful for that because the more natural athletes you have, the more healthy people you have in life, and the more, I mean, it's like it's just better all around because the better mindset basically create a better atmosphere. A better atmosphere creates a better community. So it's not, it's an outreach, not an in-reach when you're talking about these categories and people being able to strive for a better physique, a better themselves, and to better self-respect, to better self-worth. There's a lot of things that go into a natural athlete that really don't show on the stage like they should. But it basically comes out when they're competing. So, you know, just keep that in mind, guys, and understand that, you know, the categories were done for a purpose. And, you know, it might seem like there's more than there should be. And granted, sometimes I think a promoter can go overboard. But I think the gist of it, or basically the premise, is to keep people from making a choice that's going to damage their lives, damage their relationships, and damage their bodies. I mean, there's a lot of harmful effects with the taking of drugs, and especially the abuse of them. So, you know, to have this avenue is a great thing, and I'll let Justin finish it off from there.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the divisions are there, and I look at them as stepping stones for individuals. I didn't have the stepping stone, so I went straight into bodybuilding as a junior and was luckily and genetically gifted enough, I suppose, and had the four-year training background to do well as a bodybuilder. But if I was 16 and wanted to step on stage, I wouldn't have been successful, whereas I could have jumped on stage as a physique competitor and I probably would have been successful. And again, you don't have to step on stage to, you know, to be fit or to train, but it's also a goal-orientated and a reward system, so some people might like that. So having those classes coming in, a good stepping stone to allow people to get confident on stage, see how their physique is, and then as they train over the years and years and as their physique develops, all of a sudden they're stepping out of those physique classes if that's how they choose to train and want their body to look like, and then start moving up into the, say, the classic physique or the bodybuilding realm.
You know, and I have to totally agree because I think a lot of that, well, not think, I know a lot of that exact same progression happens on the female side of it. And I'm actually very grateful that bikini was introduced to natural bodybuilding. I know there are those out there that don't think bikini competitors are actual competitors at all, and I wholeheartedly would disagree with it on many fronts. But, you know, had I only been faced with, you know, figure and or just straight bodybuilding, I may have never decided to jump into the sport. So, you know, bikini was an offering that seemed more attainable for a complete beginner, someone who knew very little about natural bodybuilding, but yet it was attractive enough because, you know, out of the box, I wasn't a great competitor, but I fell in love with it to, you know, be motivated enough to continue on and want to improve. So I appreciate the different categories that meet people where they are. And, you know, aside from being a natural alternative, it's just appealing to a wider group of individuals who may have been too intimidated to just go for bodybuilding from the jump, but, you know, they're willing to try, you know, bikini or physique or whatever the case may be and then progress on. Because there are a lot of bikini girls that once they develop muscle, they fall in love with it and they do want to move on to figure and to women's physique, and some even go on to bodybuilding. So it's a great way to feed the pipeline of athletes there. So agree with that 100%. And I have a question here real quick. Justin, did you have some more thoughts you wanted to add to that?
No, I think I capped that well. I mean, we call it grassroots sort of feeding, or, you know, working up the categories over here. So it has to start somewhere. And you don't want people to get up on stage in those bodybuilding or figure classes and feeling out of place or feeling like they shouldn't be up there, because then they're going to come back. And again, if they don't love the sport, that's just might be a goal and ambition for them. So it's good to have those classes.
Yeah, definitely so. So, you know, I encourage folks to jump in, and I'm, even though it might make a show a little bit longer, I'm, you know, fully behind the debut category, which is a newer category in the NGA here in the States. So you have debut and you have novice, which I believe, Justin, you said you guys have beginners and then you have novice. There are several organizations that just have novice, but, you know, having that debut or beginners category just makes it even easier for people to get introduced to the sport. So I'm all for it if it brings more folks into it, and then they can decide from there whether or not they're going to pursue it, or if it was a bucket list adventure and they did it and they're satisfied and, you know, they just decide not to progress from there. But that's totally up to them. So I'm for it. Real quick, Micah, I guess, has a question for me. Wanting to know my thoughts about the growth of natural bodybuilding and how these countries affect your vacation plans. Well, I think you hit it on the head when you said growth of natural bodybuilding, because it's growing and I love it for several reasons that I just mentioned. You know, it is easier for more athletes to get into it and to excel at it. And it is an alternative sport for folks that may feel that they're either not blessed for another sport or they're getting too old for another sport. And, you know, it just promotes good health all around. So I'm very excited about the potential for natural bodybuilding, and I'm very excited for what I'm hearing from Justin, and I hope to hear from other individuals in other countries about how natural bodybuilding is viewed and growing in their areas. And I hope it is growing off the charts. Would love to see it. And as far as my vacation plan, heck yes. If I can get to another country and compete and, or, you know, take in good bodybuilding while I'm there, I'm all about it. I mean, it definitely would at this stage of my life play into my vacation plans. Plus, I don't know if I've mentioned, some of you know this, but I just love a good Australian accent. So actually all of this stuff that's going on tonight, just icing on the cake. Want to see the country? I can take in great bodybuilding, it sounds like, because it sounds like your amateurs are off the hook. So if I can see that plus a great pro show and listen to Australians speak to me all day long, oh my gosh, I am so there. In fact, I just need to get out there and look at tickets right now. I just need to book one. So, but Mikey, yes, it's all very exciting. It's all very exciting. Justin, I've got one last question for you, and then I actually have to hop off the show here a little bit early. So I'm going to go ahead and ask this and then say my goodbyes. But Billy wants to know how many times you had to compete before you earned your first pro card, and when was your first pro show?
I couldn't even count at the moment. how many shows I did before my first pro card, but my first pro card was achieved in 2010. And my first show I competed at was in 2002. So let's throw in 2 to 3 competitions a year. That's how many times I had to compete to get my pro card. It definitely wasn't a first show wonder. It was years
gotcha,
there.
Gotcha.
But yeah, since 2010, I've just been doing the professional shows, being the pro card that I won over at the Amateur Natural Olympia in, where was it at the time? Reno, Nevada.
Okay, exciting. And then how long did it take you from the time you earned your pro card until you enjoyed your first pro win?
I won the amateurs on the Saturday and was able to compete against the pros on the Sunday. So my first pro show was up against Kyoshi, Ricardo,
yep.
Michael Waddington. Let's throw a few more in. And I came in 4th out of about 12. So pretty happy with my first pro show.
Perfect. Perfect. Kalen, anything to add to that one?
Yes, his first pro show win.
First pro show win was with you in Chicago, Natural Universe,
yeah.
In
yeah.
2000 and...
Yeah,
well,
yeah, I'm a player!
first pro win and currently only pro win. I keep getting bridesmaid.
Well, then it sounds like you are due. So, Justin, I just want to say thanks so much for joining us. I'm going to go ahead and sign off. I know you're going to be in good hands with Kalen, and I just look forward to seeing how you do in the next couple of months.
Great. Thank you. Nice chatting to you. Hopefully see you over here in
hey,
Australia when you book the tickets.
Hey, Justin, I hate to rub salt in my buddy's wounds, but do you remember who you beat at that the universe?
Yeah, Mr. Ryan Doris.
Yes. Oh, wow,
He's a good guy, and I was petrified leading up to that show, seeing all these social media sort of lead-up pics. I'm like, who is this guy?
He has one of those physiques that you can brag about as well. And, you know, we can joke about it because we realize that competitors compete on stage, but they don't get competitive in life to be destructive. It's always for the good of the sport and the good and improvement of each other. So, you know, when we joke about this, you know, whoever wants to run back and tell Ryan that we were talking about this, he already knows because we've already spoken about it with him. So, you know, it's fun that we can laugh and joke about it. But, you know, when you're competing, it's a totally different mindset. And I think, you know, I stress on it because I want our listeners and our natural bodybuilding community to understand that we do compete. It's always a competitive atmosphere. It's always a competitive environment. But it's not a destructive competitive, you know. And I remember when I was talking to my mom, and, you know, I told her, you know, in my area, I grew up playing every sport known to man except for bowling and golf. And so we kept running into the same people a lot of times. But when it came time to playing organized sports, there was a lot of us on opposite teams or opposing teams. But it never became destructive because we had that life away from sports. And I think that's where natural bodybuilding is so vital, because we have lives and then we have natural bodybuilding, but we never basically get away from being human beings. And that's what makes it special for me, because everyone can engage in the sport and everyone can enjoy it, but then we can go back to being friends and family because we can share that as well. So, you know, for you, if it's similar, let me know. If it's not, let the listeners know. And just help them understand better what it truly means to be a natural athlete if you're going to get into this sport, or if this is something you're looking into.
It's definitely balance for me. I need to have my balance. I need to be able to surf or go snowboarding. I need to spend time with family. And then, you know, leading into a show, 16 weeks, then I start to, you know, get knuckled down with the nutrition and training, and I become a little bit more focused, but I'm still very balanced. I'm still all about, you know, catching up with friends and making sure I've got my other outcome and releases. When it comes to competing on the day, that's half the fun. I enjoy traveling to the US, and it's not just the competition. It's actually to catch up with some people. It's catching up with Philip Ricardo backstage and how's he going? You know, we're competing against each other. We're trying to beat each other the next day, but it's all in fun. It's not an aggressive, destructive sort of competition. That's not how I am. I'm not the guy backstage that has his headphones on and his head down and, you know, don't you come up and talk to me. I'm the first guy, like, come on, come have a chat, you know, introduce yourself. Or if I already know them, I'm there having a good talk and chin wag backstage to see how things are going. I enjoy catching up with everyone. Yeah, life's too short to just be solely focused on one thing. So I'm about balance. Again, everyone's different, but offhand, that's probably helped keep me in the game for so long, because it is a longevity thing. So having that balance and lifestyle.
Well, it's a lot of work, but it's a passion of love. So, you know, everybody that really is committed to it, it's committed to a lot of things, but they're also committed to a good mindset of health. And it's truly a blessing. And I love the way Rico said it. He said, you know, natural bodybuilding is the fountain of youth. And I was so glad that he said that, because, you know, nobody ever looks their age when they really practice being healthy and fit. Because, you know, one of the things that was strange to me is we had a class reunion, and you see, you know, the life choices that have been made with a lot of the people that you graduated from school. And what was shocking to me, and this is, you know, how children just say things that you don't expect them to say, but they're being openly honest about it in the way they say it.
Yeah.
And it was a child there that was asking me about a fella and was asking me where my dad was, because, you know, I didn't look like any of my classmates. And that one hurt the dad a lot, because, you know, he made some tough drug choices when he was younger. He hadn't, you know, walked the straight and narrow, and he had done a lot of damage to his body, and it was showing the signs of the abuse. And when his son said that, you know, his dad was basically asking me before we left if, you know, if he still had hope, basically, for the life that he had remaining. And I was thinking, you know, what a weird place to be mentally, where you have to look back on your life and have your own child make that statement to basically awaken you to the understanding that, you know, you did make some choices that weren't truly about helping your body or your anything else. So, you know, before the show ends, I'd like you to speak about that and how it brings about a longevity of mentality and of life in thinking and living.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the whole journey is about health and fitness, really, because it is a longevity thing.
Yes.
And I do it to stay fit and healthy and to feel good. I've got my 20-year high school reunion coming up next year, so I'll probably be in the same boat. No doubt I'm going to see some of my old classmates, and they'll be unrecognizable purely because of life choices that, you know, they've made that may have not been the best decision for them. But in the end, it's just a life choice that I've chosen to stay fit and healthy and to look after myself. I can live a longer, healthier life. It's all about quality of life, isn't it? And we're lucky enough being natural bodybuilders and training naturally to reap the rewards, you know, 100%.
And I love it. Well, Justin, we come to the point of the show where, you know, we're coming to the end, but we never want to leave the show without the guests being able to give shout-outs to all the people. So you have that time, and the floor is yours, buddy.
All right. Shout out to sponsors, Gentech Nutrition over here in Australia. They've been helping me out with some very fine quality products, all non-artificial sweetened, non-artificial coloured. So it's all ASADA, WADA tested and improved. So I can take that, no problems. And it does aid in my training recovery. They'll also help, you know, getting me over to the US to compete and against the best in the world. Shout out to the gym I train at, which is Doherty's Gym here in Melbourne. And then just family and friends, 100%. My partner, Mrs. Bev, supports me 100%, which helps a lot. She's always there in my ear, supporting, helping me cook meals, telling me to go out and do some cardio if I need to, or, you know, saying, let's go for a walk. I've just had a little son, my second son, Tyler. He's 3 months old now. So being a new dad. Yeah, being a new dad again and competing and stuff, but she's still 100% behind me, and it's good having that balance pressure. I'm there for the baby and the family, but then they're there as well. So, you know, get out there, do your thing, and we're going to make a little bit of a trip out of it, visiting the US. So, yeah, Bev, my sons Ollie, Tyler, and then everyone else supporting me, just a huge thanks and shout-out.
Oh, man, I truly enjoyed this show. It was good hearing you again. And yeah, you're well loved because you were number one on the list of people that had to be reached out from other countries. So that says something in itself. So you left quite the impression on everybody you've engaged with. So I guess all that smiling and wanting to be a part of everything and anything that the bodybuilding experience has truly helped you, because it was. No, I mean, second place was a far distant second. I mean, you were heads and shoulders above everybody else. So, you know, great job with that. Great job with being an ambassador of the sport. And thank you, man, for being our guest on our show.
Very welcome. I'm very gracious. Thank you very much. Anytime. Maybe let's do this after my showing in November, after the Olympia. Maybe I can do a competitive perspective relapse on the occasion.
Okay, we'll set a date for that.
Sounds good. Thanks, Kaylin. Cheers.
No problem, man. Have a great night. Oh, well, day or whatever. I can't even know.
We're midday. It's about lunchtime.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Got to get a meal in. All right, thanks, guys. Bye.
No problem. So that was Justin. Great job. Love the accent. Hey, you know, I do my Australian accent on the show, and you see I'm not even close to reality. But, hey, that's where I get my motivation, because the first time I met Justin, we got to hang out after the show, and he was the real deal. He was original. He was very forthgiving with information, and he was definitely everything he said in the show, because I got to see it firsthand. Great individual, great ambassador for the sport, and as you can see, we are an international entity, which is natural bodybuilding, and it's not going away. So thanks, Justin. Thanks, Dez, my co-host, my partner in crime, Team Awesome. The guys from P4P, thank you so much for always being there for us. God bless you all, and thanks for staying with us for the extended show. But I wanted to make sure we got everything we could out of Justin, because he's got so much information and he's got such a great passion. Everybody needs to share in that. So on behalf of everybody in the industry, God bless you. Good night. We are out.